He's not weak. He has no limitations. He is mighty. Mighty to deliver, mighty to restore, mighty to save, mighty to work in our lives. I'm going to ask if you would turn to Joshua chapter 6. We are preaching through the book of Joshua, and this morning we are at the 6th chapter. The message is entitled, Knocking Down Your Walls. And I'd like to introduce the message by a clear, simple declaration, and that is this: take courage. Take courage. You see, there are many obstacles in life. There are many things that stand between you and the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, these barriers are common to us all. It's not unique to you. It's not like, well, okay, well, God, you have set me aside, or you dislike me and you allow a barrier, an impediment to come in my life. I read the word, I hear the sermons, and God, I'm not experiencing some of the victories that you're describing. God, it must be me because I'm not fit. Let me just simply be as clear as I can be. When we study the Word of God, it reads as though God knows your barriers and allows your barriers. We can't escape that, can we? Yes, God has allowed your barriers. And it almost suggests that God has a purpose for the barrier. It's almost like He is developing us to trust Him and to rely on His power, not our resourcefulness. Real victory in life comes from the hand of God, and we must learn to trust Him. So this morning, let's learn how the Battle of Jericho gives God's prescription for knocking down the walls that are in your life. So let's go through this chapter. First, overcome barriers by facing your obstacles. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. I mean, they had the gates locked tight. Now, the Battle of Jericho is one of the most well-known stories of all Scripture. Many of us have been singing about the Battle of Jericho from the time we were children. Some of you have not. Some of us were raised in that environment where Joshua won the Battle of Jericho. I'm not going to sing it for you. But I hear the angels behind me. Or at least some unhuman being of some sort. You see, this is more than a children's story. This is more than an inspiring narrative. You see, this is the key battle that Joshua faced in leading the people of God to experience the full measure of God's blessings in the promised land. I mean, this was big. This is the cornerstone battle, the central conflict for the people of God. You see, God promised Israel that He would deliver them out of slavery in Egypt, lead them throughout the wilderness, bring them through hostile enemy territory so that they could inherit this wonderful promised land. And now it was time to act courageously and experience the full measure of God's promise. But something stood in the way, And that something was Jericho. Now, I'm going to show you a map on the wall. And this is a map of the Middle East back in the day of Joshua. Now, here you have basically the primary area of the Promised Land. Where my pointer is, if you can see that, that's Beersheba. And up here is Dan. This was the northernmost mark, generally for reference. By the way, all through Scripture, you'll hear it said in the Old Testament, from Dan to Beersheba, to Dan to Beersheba. Well, there you go. Now you know where they are. Here's Dan way up north, and here's Beersheba down south. So basically, this area was the land of promise, but it was occupied by Canaanites, various tribal people, city-states that were fortified with cities and warriors. And so God had given them, the Israelites, the territory to Abraham much earlier, but they had to take it. So here's Joshua. Actually, Moses led them on the east side of the Jordan River. There's the Jordan, all right? And the people were established on the east side, and they defeated some of the Amorite kings, the king of Bashan, the king of Og, and it was a wonderful victory that God gave them. And now they had to go to Canaan. Now, here is how God led them. By day, he led them by a cloud, and at night, he led them by, all right, a pillar of fire. By the way, this was God's doing. I mean, this wasn't Moses, this wasn't Joshua's doing. God led them to this point of Jericho. It's located right here. Now notice, it's pretty much central to Dan and to Beersheba, okay? Here it is on this map. Here's Dan, here's Beersheba, and here's Jericho right in the middle. Now here's the intent of God. God was going to lead the Israelite people across Jericho, across the Jordan River, which we studied earlier, and the first city was Jericho, a fortified city, and then make their way to the center point. All right? Now, the reason that God must have done this is because God was separating the tribes, the city-states, north from the south, so they couldn't develop a military alliance to come against the Israelite people. I mean, God knows what he's doing. Amen? And then the people turned south. We'll study this in weeks to come, and they won victory. And then the people turned north, and that was the military strategy of God. By the way, in World War I, they followed the same strategy. I mean, God knows what he's doing. But there was an incredible difficulty for human comprehension, and that was Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. It's built on a hill. It has natural fortifications. There were gates all around the city. I mean, it was shut tight. No one could go in. No one could go out. And I mean, it was a fortress of security. And it had to fall. Now, you know, the way I'm describing Jericho may be some of those similar ways that you're describing barriers and walls and impediments in your own life. For example, some have a barrier of depression. And you see, it's a barrier because it prevents people from experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit. I speak to our folks regularly, and if that's you, I'm not naming names, but I've been there myself, and I'm telling you as clear as I can, God can knock that wall down, and it needs to come down. You're not deficient. You're not non-spiritual if you're depressed, but don't stay there long. Come on out. Let the wall fall down. You see, some of you deal with the wall of poverty. And I want you to know, it is a barrier. Why? Because God said he has given you abundance. He will take care of all your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs. And that dreadful experience of poverty, not knowing if you have enough funds for groceries and your bills, I mean, it will zap you and derail you and cause you to question Christian abundance if you didn't know better. Some of you are dealing with the barrier of violence. You see, if you've experienced violence, you will certainly have an impediment to the very clear truth that God protects you. He divinely is your warrior, and he's with you. He is your shield, and he will see to your needs. But if you have suffered violence, it can cause you. It is an impediment, a wall, a barrier to experiencing the full measure of God's protection. Some of you deal with the wall of loneliness. We preach and we read the Holy Word of God that tells us that we are never, ever alone, but some of you feel alone. Some of you live day in and day out. I remember being a student at Ohio University many years ago, 14,000 students on campus in Athens, Ohio, and there I walked on campus and felt all alone. You see, you can be around a lot of people and be alone. You can live in a family and be alone. You can have a large workplace environment and be alone. You can live in a neighborhood with a lot of folks coming in and out, passing by your home all the time and be alone. You see, I want you to understand that that wall of loneliness is an impediment. It's a barrier to you from experiencing the sense that God is with you. You're never alone. You're never, ever, ever alone. And these walls need to come down. They got to go. Now, we all face them. It's almost as though God allows them. I mean, we have to be honest with Scripture. God could have seen that there was no Jericho, even though it's one of the oldest continuous cities on the face of the planet. You see, God could have eliminated your walls, but at least he has allowed them today. But he doesn't want them to remain. He wants the walls to come down. So first of all, we need to overcome barriers by facing our obstacles. I mean, the Jewish people, by the leadership of Joshua, went right to Jericho. And here they were, looking at Jericho with fortified walls, soldiers equipped with military instruments, and a city built on a mountain. And you can see the ruins today. I've been there, several of us have. And I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And to think that God allowed it there, but God wants the walls to come down in your life. Number two, overcome barriers by believing that God can remove them. Look at verse 2 of the same chapter, Jericho 6. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hands with its kings and the valiant warriors." Victory begins with the phrase, "The Lord said." I mean, when God says the walls are to come down, they're going to come down. I don't know that there's ever been a time on earth that we need to hear those simple words, "And the Lord said." Now, there are folks all around us looking in some pretty strange places. Even preachers, and I are one, I'm saying, even preachers sometimes move away from "The Lord said," because they want to say, so you can give a little bit more on the coffers, tickle your ears and make you feel good. By the way, I hope you feel good. But that's not our goal here. It's to make a disciple out of you. And we got to be honest with you and the Word of God. You see, there are many folks who, when they face a wall, will first run to a friend for advice. "I've got a wall. I'm depressed. I'm alone. I've suffered. I've been harmed. I've been injured. I'm alone. Oh, no. I need you. Listen to me." By the way, I'm not against friends. That would be pretty odd of me. Jesus had some friends, but one of his closest friends betrayed him and the other denied him. I'm just simply saying that when you go to your friend for advice, you're getting a friend's wisdom. You got to understand, that's what you get. If you go to a professional for advice, you get the advice of a learned person, but still a person. But if you go to God for advice, you get the creator of the world, who is right 100% of the time. He has no practice. I mean, he knows all and can do all. I'm not saying don't go to friends. I'm saying you first go to God. Run to him. If you got a wall in your life, listen. Thus saith the Lord. Because that's where it all begins. Doesn't begin with me, doesn't begin with you, or with another human. Victory begins with God. Now look, victory results when we believe that God wins our battles. God told Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hands. Isn't that amazing? Here they are standing on the east side of Jericho in a place called Gilgal. And they're looking at Jericho, and the walls are standing as esteemed as ever. And God says, hey, Joshua, I have given Jericho to you. It is yours. Now, a naysayer might suggest, well, God, I don't know if you're looking over here. The walls are still standing. I mean, there are soldiers in march, in unison, back and forth, the walls of the city. God, aren't you seeing what I see? And you see, that's the problem. How can God win victory before the battle occurs? Well, two reasons. First of all, God sees the future. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that the Almighty God that you serve, that you come here to worship, that you seek to follow, that you desire to transform your life, do you believe this God of yours who watches you and pays attention to you, who has numbered the hairs of your head, who watches you more closely than the sparrows in the sky, do you believe that this God can see the future of your life? And he can. The Word of God tells us so clearly. Now, if you could tell the future, I mean, that'd be something. I mean, you would be one amazing day trader on the stock market, wouldn't you? I mean, if you could see the future, I mean, I tell you, you would be captaining your own ship. I mean, it would be incredible. But I want you to know that God can see the future. There is power there. There's an amazement there. There's an ability there. I mean, if you can see the future, oh my, you could thwart problems that you didn't desire. And if there are problems that you see, you can see they are removed before they ever surface. God can see your future. And that's why God said to Joshua, Joshua, I have already given it to you. By the way, you see the city. There's still walls there. There's still soldiers. They're fortified. I see all of that. But I want you to know, I've already given you victory. I can see ahead. I can look in the future. And if there's something that God doesn't like in the future, he can remove it. By the way, I find myself wondering when I get to heaven how many times I'm going to say, God, now tell me the list of times that you kind of did things that I couldn't see. That's going to be one of my most favorite questions to ask. Tell me, I'm just curious. You know, we got like forever up here, you know, so kind of review with me yet once again how many times you intervened and I never even seen it. And I know I'm going to start shouting to the Lord when I hear. You see, there are a lot of things the Lord sees and he prevents and he does. I mean, because he can see the future. You can't. I can't. I mean, we can get gut reactions. We can have these senses or feelings, but only God can really look in the future. Now, you pair that to the second, and that is God is all powerful. I mean, there is nothing our God cannot do. Speaking of children's songs earlier, perhaps you've heard of this one. God is so big, so tall and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his. The valleys are his. The stars are his handiworks too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. You see, that's why God says to you and me, oh, those walls in your life, those things you got going on that impede the fulfillment of my wonderful promises in your life, they got to go. And by the way, I'm going to see that they're knocked down, because I can see in the future, and I'm almighty, and I control things. I love Acts 17, 26. We won't spend time this morning to study it, but you may want to write it down. It's a simple verse in passing when Paul was preaching at Mars Hill among the real educated folks of his day. And he mentions a statement that God has the nations, their times and their season, in his control. You see, only a God who's powerful, only a God who can see the future can do that. It's amazing. You see, God has the U.S. in his hands. God has the nations of the world, Israel and Egypt. By the way, not only nations, but he has the whole world in his hands. And that means you too. So when you encounter a wall, you must believe that God has arranged a victory for you. Now, let me just say finally before we move on. Notice that when God spoke to Joshua, he spoke in the past tense. Joshua, I have already given you the victory. It's done. Joshua, I've done the heavy lifting. I mean, I've already made victory there for you. It's done. It's in the bag. Do you believe it? Are we really convinced that God cares for us? Or do we say, well, I do a church, but then I leave. I rely on my own resources. And you know what? And when a problem comes, I talk to a friend. I go through all this distress and all these worries. And yeah, maybe I ought to call the preacher and let him know sometime. I'll get around to it later. And then we have the audacity to say, God, I trust you first. You see, God gives us resources on earth, and we should utilize them, but not at the exclusion of the Almighty God himself. He's already given victory over the walls in our life. All right, let's keep moving. Overcome barriers by following God's direction. Look at verses 3 through 5. Overcome barriers by following God's direction. 3 through 5. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You're going to battle, you need your men of war, right? Circling the city once, you shall do so for 6 days. Also, oh yeah, don't forget this, Joshua said by God's inspiration. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Verse 5. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead. You see, we overcome barriers by following God's directions. Now, God's direction is rarely what a person expects. Can you imagine? God says, okay, here's how we're going to do this. The victory's already yours, so here's what I want you to do. Get all your soldiers together and have them to put down their weapons. Huh? What? Yep. Get all your soldiers together. And the first thing they need to do is to put down their weapon. Why? Because God's already given them the victory, right? Amen? He said, I've already given you the victory. But why do you need a weapon at this point? You don't need a weapon. You don't need any kind of device to get over the walls. God says, I've already taken care of it. Put down your weapons. And also, by the way, get the priest out here, because what I'm going to do is give spiritual direction, spiritual solutions for a wall in your life. You see, that's God's plan. This is all about faith. This is all about trusting. This is all about acknowledging God. This is all about following in his footprints for victory. Now, take the priest and have them to, like, carry ram's horns and trumpets. Now, there you go. These great weapons of war, right? Trumpets. What are you going to do? Hit them in the head with the trumpet? I mean, what are you going to do? What's that about? No, you're going to blow them. And by the way, they're going to take the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you know what the Ark of the Covenant is, those of you who like lost. Thank you, Margaret. Lost Raiders of the Unknown Ark. But I didn't say that exactly the way it was presented in movie format. Charlton Heston, in other words. Even Princey Sterling knew that was wrong. So here will they go. They're to take this wooden box. Really, it's just a wooden box that has gold all laid over the gold. And inside there are the Ten Commandments. All right. And they have poles because they weren't to touch the box. And they were to carry the box around the city. The priest were to carry the box with the two tablets of stone in them, dressed in their priestly garments. Not in weapons of war, but you see, this was spiritual solutions, spiritual directions for barriers in life. That's how God does things. You see, there are some folks that are so misguided, they think, okay, I need a weapon. Give me a sword. I'll go out. I'll conquer the world. Just give me some. I'll go out and I'll stand on against my foes, and I'll run them over. They're running me over. I'll run them. I'll show them. Really? What Bible do you read? It's not the will of God. Remember, Peter tried that once. He drew the sword. He cut off the ear of a soldier. And Jesus said, no, 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 we don't do it that way. And he healed the ear. No, my weapons aren't like that. You see, God uses spiritual tools, spiritual instruments, spiritual means to bring down the walls in our lives. And I'm fearful that this is the part we're really missing above all. That we want to do something. We want to our fist. We want to do something that would cause us to excel and stand out. No, you go around the city once for 6 days, and on the seventh day you go seven times. And then at the seventh time, following these priests, you blow the horns and you shout in victory, and I'll take care of the rest. You see, I've seen this happen, church. I've read about it and I've seen it. And let me share with you both quickly. You see, I've read about Abraham, who God says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and he gave him one son, a promise. And then he said, all right, now you take that son to Mount Moriah. And by the way, you take his life. What? That doesn't make sense. But thus saith the Lord. It really was the will of God. You see, God uses spiritual means to win victories in our lives. And there's a little old ram in the thicket. He got that lamb, that male lamb, brought it out and slew the lamb. You see, I've read about a man by the name of Moses who God called to lead hundreds of thousands of Jews from slavery into freedom, and all he had was a staff. Stick. Stick. You know, the stick. That's what he had, a stick. You're going to lead all the men and women who build your buildings, who has constructed your pyramids and your palaces. Yeah, and you're going to lead hundreds of thousands of Jews out of here with a single stick. Yeah. Time won't permit me, but I'll just say that Moses took that stick and he stuck it in the Nile. And the Nile became blood. And all the fish died. Because God was showing his power. I've read about a man named Elijah who had a woman and her husband who provided him lodging and was very gracious to him. They had one son and he died. And a Shulamite woman came to him and said, Elijah, what have you done? You said I'd have a son, and then I have, and now God has taken him away. This grief is greater than any blessing I ever had. Why? Elijah goes and says, place the boy upstairs, and was lying there. And he simply laid on the boy. Now, we'd call that he'd just suffocate him. Here is a man, grown living man, lying on a dead boy. And you know what happened, don't you? The boy began to get breath in his lungs and color in his skin and life back to his body. You see, God uses spiritual means. I mean, that's not medical science. You can't lie on dead people and then live again. But if God says it, He answers. He performs. I read about a man named Jesus who hung on a despised Roman cross, shamed publicly in the absence of clothing, his garments gambled away by soldiers at his feet. People wagging their head, mocking him, laughing at him, gesturing to him with disdain. And this same Jesus hung there to take all their sin away, so that by his penalty, he could set man free. I've read these stories, and some of you have too. God uses spiritual means, not natural, ordinary things, really. He uses spiritual obedience, directives, to give victory. Now, God will overcome your barriers with spiritual direction, too. And I need to be quick, so listen carefully. I've seen God knock down the walls of depression by people who chose to start rejoicing in the Lord. I've seen it, I guess, as a pastor, I address this issue in the life of our church probably as much as I do any. Pastor, I'm depressed. Some it's rather mild, others it's pretty intense and acute. There are times when I say, you know what, you may need to go to a doctor, get a little bit of a booster, a little help. There are times that I usually say, you know, you may need to exercise a little bit and get those endorphins, God's natural healing agents, kind of moving around in there. But here's what I always say. I always, 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 always say, because I've experienced it myself, you better start rejoicing. Even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't really want to, you need to start rejoicing and praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. I've seen God use the praise of His people to turn around the barriers of depression. I've seen God knock down the walls of poverty by people who just give away their widow's mite. You know what I mean by that, right? People who have abject poverty, they don't know where the last meal is coming. They come to the church and they see the offering plate passed. And what do? They have two mites, $2 perhaps, if you will, or whatever. And I've seen folks give their very best and even all, and God honor it and deliver them out of hunger. Listen, I've seen God move mightily and knock down the walls of violence. You know how He does this mostly? I've seen it multiple times, and that is through this incredible spiritual directive of forgiveness. Now, I just need to be clear and brief. You see, when others have assaulted us, when others have come against us, when others have taken away from us, we can either get bitter or we can get better, right? And here's God's way of getting better, and that is through forgiveness. You see, it's not like we're the eternal judge letting them go scot-free. Let's let God deal with them as the eternal judge chooses. Someone needs to say amen right now. But for your sake, for your sake, for your blessedness, for your goodwill, you need to forgive. It's the only way to get better. I've seen it before where folks have had so much taken from them and they've learned to forgive. And it's not easy, but they get better. I've seen God knock down the walls of loneliness by people just saying, you know what? I'm going to make a little effort here, and I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to small group Bible study, and I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to start talking to somebody. There's a church down there. They're friendly folks. They seem to be. I'm frightened of people. I don't like crowds. I don't like to be in the midst of folks. But just go and speak a word of friendliness. You see, God overcomes barriers by following God's directions, not by you marshaling all the resources you can out of your bank account and whoever knows where else. Finally, overcome barriers by acting courageously. Chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, our last verses for today. So the people shouted, the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the walls fell down flat, so that the people went out, into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Now here's the verse a lot of folks don't want to read. This is all the Holy Bible. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. When the walls fell, God's people acted courageously and captured the complete city. Now, the soldiers that had laid down their weapons because they were marching around with the priest 7 days, that was God's directive. The walls just crumbled down. They just fell down. How'd that happen? God took his finger from heaven and beep, and the walls just fell smack down on the ground. And then God says, okay, now here's what we're going to do. Now I'll tell the soldiers that have been walking around behind the priest, like with nothing to do, tell them to pick up their weapons, go in the city because the walls now are down, kill every man, every woman, every ox, every donkey, young people and old people, take their lives. Now, before we jump to a conclusion, we have to understand some things here quickly. First of all, the Hebrew word that's used here is harem. It's not our English word harem. It's a Hebrew word harem. That literally means that everything in this city had belonged to God. It was consecrated and belonged to God. Now listen carefully. I'm going to repeat it because I want you to get this. Because you say you believe it, but now you got to own up into it, okay? Do you believe that God owns everything? Yes or no? All right, now I'm going to hold you to that belief. God says, listen, I own everything in Jericho. Everything in there. People, animals, materials, it doesn't matter. I own the whole thing. Now, when you take the city is under the harem. The Hebrew word under the consecration of God. Now, here's what that meant. Everything that was cursed had to be destroyed. Everything that had use was taken to the temple, to the tabernacle, and was used for service of God. Let me repeat it. Everything that was cursed had to die. Everything that had usefulness was brought to God for use. Now, there are a lot of folks in Jericho that had their mind set on killing the Jews. And I must say they were under the harem, they were under the curse. Now, before you go and make a quick judgment, say, God's not fair, he's not just, I thought he was a God of grace. Let me remind you, as we preached 2 weeks ago, that not everyone died. Rahab the harlot. Not Rahab the princess. Rahab the harlot, along with her entire family, were saved. It is from Rahab that the lineage of Jesus came. You're talking about redemption. You're talking about grace. That's grace. Don't say God's not a God of grace. He is a God of grace. He knows where the Rahabs are. He knows those who he can redeem so they'll be useful. He also knows those who are under the curse. Who say, I'm going to dig my heels in. I'm going to kill every Jew, every person. I'm going to defy the name of God. I don't care. This is how it is. And I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to resist and I'm going to defy God. You see, he knows those who are under the curse. And those who will respond to his grace. Why? Because he knows the what? Future. He can see the future. And so he saved Rahab and her whole family. But it took courage. God, why would you destroy the walls and have soldiers to take the life of people? By the way, men and women, young and old, senior adults who couldn't run very fast, young who were innocent. God, why would you destroy the walls but yet let people take up their weapons? Because God had already said, Joshua, listen, I've given this victory already to you. It's my victory. I own it all. I own everybody in Jericho. They belong to me. I'm their creator. I'm the God of the entire universe. And I can do whatever I want. It's my creation. But I can see in the future. I know what's going on here. There are people that curse. And not only do they curse, they will live out a life of cursedness. And they need to go. Because the walls have to fall down and you've got to go through Jericho to get to Canaan. The promised land. You see, it was a test of sorts. I've given you the victory. I've knocked down the walls. You've not used a single rampart. You've used no military strategy. You've simply obeyed me. Now I'm giving you the right to carry the victory forward and to cooperate with me. You see, as I conclude, you must act courageously to fulfill God's purpose for removing the walls. You say, I wish God would remove my wall of depression. Okay, if he has and if he would, what would you do? So, well, I just feel better. Oh, okay, so God really is ultimately wanting you just to feel better. I mean, that's his purpose for your life, is just to feel better. Go to hell, but to feel better doing it. I wish God would remove the wall of loneliness. Well, what would you do if he did? I wish God would remove the wall of violence. I'm still bitter and hurt over those who have assaulted me. If he did, what would you do? Because he's got a purpose. Of course he's kind. Of course he's generous. Of course he's compassionate. But you see, God knocked the walls of Jericho down so the people could go through Jericho for the real inheritance. Listen, God's got great things for you. But he must knock down some of these walls that you've allowed to stand in your way. And when you commit to finding those purposes and living in the grace of God, you will live in victory. You know, God has been knocking down walls in people's lives for centuries. This is not new. Johnny Fulton ran into a wall at an early age. He was ran over by a car at the age of 3. My greatest nightmare as a parent, by the way, a grandparent. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, a fractured skull, compound fractures in his legs.
In fact, they didn't even think he would survive. But in time, Johnny would run a half mile in less than 2 minutes and became one of the world's greatest sprinters of all time. Shelly Mann ran into a wall at the age of 5. She was paralyzed by polio, and it looked like meaningful life would never be experienced by Shelly. But God knocked down the walls of her life, and eventually she would claim 8 different swimming records for the U.S. and win a gold medal at the Olympics in Melbourne, Australia. Woodrow Wilson faced a wall in his youth. You see, he couldn't read. He didn't learn to read until he was 10 years of age. God walked down the wall, and he became the 28th president of the United States of America. You see, God's been knocking down walls ever since. He walks down the walls of depression, of violence, of poverty, of loneliness, of marriage failure, emotional pain. You see, it is the intent of God to remove walls that stand between you and God's promise. But what must we do? Well, we must cooperate with Him. That's the message. That's the call of decision today. We've got to cooperate with God. He's given us victories. He has resources. He does things for us, but we've got to cooperate with Him. We just can't sit there and say, okay, hit me with your best shot, God. I'm just kind of just to let you do it. No, He will win victory for us, but we've got to take our weapons and start walking to Jericho. Will you? Do you want the walls in your life to fall? God has a prescription. It's not by human might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father, at this time of decision, we just ask your will to be done. We ask, God, that your Spirit would call and draw. Oh, Lord, you are a God of grace. We've experienced it, most of us at least. Lord, we know you're a God of compassion, of tender mercies, of love, but a God of truth. You've established the truth. Now, God, may we be faithful simply to follow and cooperate with what you're doing in our lives. You are doing a great work. Thank you. Speak, O Lord, to us now. Draw us to Jesus. Draw us to our Savior who went to Calvary so that we could live. Thank you. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the preaching ministry at Liberty Baptist Church. We trust the Lord will show His mercy and grace to you. At Liberty, we believe everyone counts. Our motto is, one church, all people. If there is a need in your life that we can meet, please contact us soon. Perhaps you need prayer for a personal matter. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you need spiritual counsel. We have trained staff to help you. Perhaps you're looking for a friendly church that bases its teaching and practice on the Bible. Then consider us your home church. You can contact us by phone at 770-461-5644. You may wish to learn more about the ministry of Liberty Baptist Church from our website. It is www.lbcfayette.org. May God greatly bless you, and thanks again for your interest in the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ.